everybody, welcome back to Growing With The Flow. Thank you for tuning in and happy Monday. I hope you had a nice weekend. Today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about veganism, which is something I used to share a lot more of on social media in general. And I actually subconsciously, I guess, have made that change. And I guess I'll talk about that in a little bit. But yeah, just my relationship with it. Am I still vegan? And yeah, just some thoughts I have had recently, because it's been a long time. Some just general life updates. I have just finished week 5 of my term, so next week is reading week, which is insane. This year is going so quickly, like the academic term. The actual year, the calendar year, is dragging. Like, oh my god, is it going slowly? But I can't believe I've already done 5 weeks of this term. Last year, when I had the first term of this master's from September to December, genuinely, I felt like I had run 10 marathons by the time I got to reading week. And this year, I'm just like, whatever. Like, it's kind of just gone by. And it's actually longer than 5 weeks this time, because there was a week zero with exams. So it's kind of been longer. And I was also studying before that for exams. So I don't know. It's kind of crazy. And that means that 3/4 of my teaching is done. I have 5 more weeks after reading week and then exams and then a dissertation to write in the summer. But after those 5 weeks, I won't be having classes or anything, which is so weird. And it's one of those things where at the start you're like, oh my god, this is going so slowly. And then at the end you're like, oh wow, that went so quick. But it's a bit of a disjustice to your or an injustice to your previous self to be like, oh my god, it just flew by when it was so difficult. But I feel like it's just going quickly and weirdly. I watched One Day this week. Please let me know your thoughts. I'm so interested. So I'll try not to do any spoilers, but if you haven't seen it, I feel like it's kind of everywhere, but new series out based on the book One Day. And basically the idea is these two people meet at the after party of graduation. So at the end of their degree when they're 22, and then you see each episode is that same date but a year on. So July 19th, and you see it in, I think the first year is 1989 maybe, I'm not sure. And then you go once a year up to 2004, and it's based on a book. There was also a film made ages ago, I think, with Anne Hathaway in it, which I watched when I was in uni. And oh guys, it's kind of it really does hit you. It's a crazy, I don't know, I think the storyline is pretty crazy. And yeah, I watched the film when I was in uni. One of the cool things about it is that the uni they went to is Edinburgh, so the first episode and a few bits and pieces within that are set in Edinburgh, and you get to see, including in the film, which is also really cool, Arthur's Seat and the crags, old colleges in the series a lot, and just the streets and they're walking around and their flats and stuff. And it's so cool because that's where I went to uni, so it really is very reminiscent and just very cool to see somewhere that isn't on TV a lot to be on a movie or a show. Then they do move to London, so there's some London content, but I feel like there's a lot of London films and shows, and London's so big as well that it's not as special, because you don't necessarily recognize the places, whereas in Edinburgh it's you instantly recognize everything because it's such a small city. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I will say, here's my critique of it. So I had already watched the film, so granted I knew what was going to happen. I've not read the book, but yeah, I already knew the storyline roughly. I knew how the book had been interpreted into the film. And even, I just think my one comparison would be that in the film, it's very clear and obvious why they keep hanging out every year and why they keep staying friends, and their relationship and the chemistry between them, and the tension and ongoing will they, won't they, we're just friends, the whole quite complicated relationship they have, I do think was portrayed really well in the film, and it made loads of sense that they would keep coming back to each other even when they had massive arguments or things didn't go right. It made sense that they would come back to each other, whereas in the show, I feel for the first six or so episodes, which is 6 years, obviously, I wasn't really understanding that. I didn't see much between them that made me think, like, I kind of saw it as, like, they'd have an argument, and then I didn't really understand why they would come back together, just from the way that their relationship looks. Like, it didn't look like it was worth as much as it is, in terms of, like, the way it's portrayed in the film, and also just, obviously, the storyline is that they keep staying friends for all these years, so obviously it does mean a lot to them, and I didn't really get that from, like, watching it. I don't know. I would say it was only, like, I'd say it was worth watching, but maybe not entirely what I would have desired. Also really, really cool, the girl that they've cast to be the, like, lead girl is South Asian, which is really cool. I also enjoyed watching her act in This Is Gonna Hurt, and I really love her. And it's just also very cool because Edinburgh as a city and uni is, like, very white. And as somebody who went there who isn't white and has friends, like, my friend Shreya, who I went to India with, is also Indian. So I think, like, we were talking about just how cool it is to, like, see, like, some representation of, like, quite a, you know, unique group. And, like, that aspect of it is really, really, yeah, it's really nice. Obviously, it's based on a film, or no, sorry, it's based on a book where that isn't part of the storyline. So it's not really addressed, like, I think she makes one little nod to it in a speech about not being, like, the typical Edinburgh student, but it's not really part of the storyline, which is completely fair because obviously it's based off of the book and it doesn't need to be part of the storyline. But yeah, I thought that was cool and very interesting. And yeah, I really like the girl that plays Tilly as well. I thought that was, I really like her.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
And yeah, I'd recommend watching it if you've not already. It is a little bit depressing, is all I'll say. It has, like, some messaging, I'd say, which is quite harsh. When I watched it in uni, I, like, had no idea what was gonna happen. And when we finished it, we were just like, oh my god, that was the most depressing thing I've ever seen. Like, that was horrific. But also great. I don't know. We, like, me and my friends that watched it together, we always joke, like, if it's ever, like, oh, what should we watch? And it's like, haha, one day, and everyone laughs because it's like, I will never, I, like, I do not want to watch it again. It was a bit, like, it's a bit much, but it is really cool. I think when I watched it in uni, I was, it, I don't know, obviously it's not a fair comparison because I was in uni then and, like, it was a film, whereas now I'm comparing it to the series. But this time around, the aspect of, like, growing up and being, like, at the end there, like, 32, 33, I think, and, like, the aspect of them, like, getting their careers together and, you know, it's like they're 10 years out of uni and they haven't got, like, the job that they want, or they feel like their career's going nowhere and stuff, that hit me way different this time. Whereas when I watched it when I was, like, 21, I was, I don't know, it just felt, I didn't really pick up on that as much. I guess maybe it wasn't highlighted in the same way as it was in the series, but I think it probably has more to do with, like, my age and, like, my position in life. That's what really, like, hit me more watching it this time around. Whereas the first time around, I feel like I took more from the messaging of, like, seize the day kind of thing. So yeah, just some thoughts. Other than that, I have not been up to much. I was sick and I went away last weekend, so I'm sorry that's why there were no episodes then. And yeah, other than that, I've not done much. I got some new prints for my room, very excitingly. I have this picture of my Barb, my dad's mum, and I found it at her house a couple years ago, I think, and it's literally the most stunning picture. She's standing in it somewhere in India, I need to ask specifically where it is, in front of, like, water and a mountain, and she's wearing, like, this amazing outfit, and yeah, it's just, like, the coolest picture, and it was quite high quality. I got my cousin to scan it in and send it to me, so I got that printed quite big, and that looks really nice. And then I also got a new print for my wall. I think I'm gonna film a vlog this week and hopefully post that on Sunday, so if you want to see, I'll do some room updates in that. But yeah, got this new print. I used to have two prints above my bed, which I had been wanting to change ever since I moved in, and I genuinely have been on like the print websites for months. Like, since even before I moved, I was like, I want to get new prints for my new room. Like, I was really excited, and I just couldn't find anything that I liked. And yeah, so I just put up some ones that I had before, which I do still really like and I'm keeping because I'll definitely want them at another point. But it's quite a small room, or it's a tiny room really, so having anything on the walls or like hung up or like even just like piles of stuff that is quite big or like loud takes the room, like kind of takes over the room quite a lot. So yeah, I didn't really want those prints to stay up, but I just couldn't find anything better. And it feels like a big decision, you know, prints are quite nice and like expensive sometimes, so I didn't want to like settle, especially because these prints are like 50 by 70, so they're really big, so it is quite expensive. But I found one finally on Decennio. I've worked with them in the past. Before I even started YouTube, I bought stuff from them, and then I've worked with them in the past. I bought this one myself, but yeah, I have worked with them at points, and I love their prints, they're so nice. So I've got this one, it's like a blue background and then a sort of pinky moon and some birds, and it's very peaceful, and I think it's like perfect. The room feels a bit more like calm and nice now. And I also saw, my friend was telling me how Decennio now have this AI thing, which is absolutely crazy. Like, AI is just wild, where you can go on and you can put in, like, on the Decennio website. This also, maybe this sounds sponsored, it's obviously not. Like, I bought this print myself, and like, I genuinely thought this was so interesting that they have this. And you can type in like London in the rain, or like flamingos on a yellow background, and then you can pick different styles, like watercolor or like abstract or like photo style, and then they'll like generate a print for you, and you can like get that printed for your flat. Like, that's crazy to me that you can do that. I thought that was such an interesting idea, because sometimes you genuinely can't find what you're looking for, or if you've seen something really expensive that you kind of want a like cheaper version of, you could also use it for that. I don't know, it's interesting. It's kind of like sad in a way, because obviously like it's artists who make these prints and like do the designs and stuff, and with this it's kind of like replacing, in a sense. Not that it's any like, not that it's a substitute at all, but like, if you've only got like X amount to spend, maybe you would pick this over like buying like an artist's work. So I thought that was like really interesting, something to look at maybe if you guys are interested. Okay, that was a bit of a rambly beginning, so we're gonna get into it. Veganism, what a journey. So I am still vegan. I have been vegan since 2015, so coming up to like 9 years, I think, maybe like 8.5 years at the moment, which is actually a really long time. And whenever people say that, they're like, oh my god, or like when they ask and I say, people are like, wow, that's quite a while. I rarely, like, obviously I'm not saying I'm the first person to ever be vegan at all, but I don't meet that many people who are vegan who have done it for longer than that. Like, obviously there are a lot of people, I'm not saying, I know this is coming out wrong, but what I mean is like, I'd say I'm in like maybe the first 50% of people who have still vegan now, in terms of like how long they've been vegan. And yeah, it's such a weird thing, because I don't actually really think about it ever. It's just a habit and like a lifestyle that I have 100%, like, I've never broken it that whole time. I am sure that there have been mistakes that I don't know about, but like, I haven't knowingly chosen to eat like non-vegan things. And yeah, especially when I was traveling, and like, you don't really know exactly what's in stuff, and like, it's hard to ask. I'm sure like 100% that I have eaten stuff that isn't vegan, but not anything big. Like, I've never had any like upset tummy or anything, or just, I don't know, I feel like if I had like a whole big thing of something, my body would know. Maybe not, but for the most part, I think if I have made any mistakes, it will be like just traces or like little splashes of stuff, rather than like, you know, eating a full like cup of milk or something. Not that you eat milk, but anyway. So yeah, originally when I went vegan, I was 15, which is really young. And I do kind of think back and I'm like, yeah, were your intentions in the right place? So I was raised vegetarian, which I'm so grateful for. I love that part of like my childhood and like my life and my choices and stuff. It was never like forced. Obviously, it's like when you're like a baby and like a toddler and stuff, any diet you have is forced upon you because you can't like make autonomous decisions. So whether you're forced to eat meat or forced to be vegetarian or whatever, like it's not your choice. But as soon as we were able to like articulate ourselves and like speak about it, we were allowed, like my brother gave up very young, like 6, I think. And my mum always made him meat for like a few meals a week and stuff. So there was definitely like no pressure and like you didn't have to do it at all. But I never really questioned it. I never wanted to eat meat, mainly for the animals. That was like why I stayed vegetarian. And the reason I went vegan, I would say actually was mainly to be healthier, which is kind of silly because I wasn't unhealthy. And at the time when I did all this, I had the worst relationship with food like that I've ever had, and just like other body issues, you know. I was like 14, 15, it's not good times. And I think because at the time there wasn't really much vegan stuff, like it was quite difficult to, for example, buy vegan chocolate, vegan crisps, not vegan crisps, but like vegan biscuits, vegan cake, like that was difficult to come by. And while there were a few options in like big supermarkets, there weren't in like smaller ones, and it was often a lot more expensive, and a lot of the options weren't very good. Like it was normally like Sainsbury's own brand stuff, and it wasn't like that great. So naturally, if you were vegan around that time, obviously it's very different, like depending where you live, but where, and I'm sure that's still true in like many places in the world, but like where I live around that time, if you went vegan, you were like kind of necessarily going to be eating a lot less of those foods. And yeah, I think I just wanted to be healthier. And to be honest, I think I was like really, I was in like a bad habit with food, to like just in general. I'm not going to get into it because it's not what this episode's about, but, and I kind of thought if I focus more on eating healthily and like eating like a good range of like fruit and veg and like not quote less healthy foods as often, that I would be less restrictive in general and just eat better and like in terms of quantity. So that was kind of one of my motivations. And yeah, it's changed so much over the years, because there was also a big phase of like veganism and like environmental issues. Obviously there are like a lot of stats about like being vegetarian and being vegan, and your like carbon footprint and emissions and stuff. Obviously that's not always the case. Like eating avocados every day that are flown from like South America or whatever is obviously not got a low carbon footprint, but generally not eating meat lowers it in some way. And especially like if you eat like more seasonal fruits and veg and stuff. So yeah. And then now I would say the main reason I do it, because as I've like tried to heal my relationship with food and like gone through the motions with that, and like things have changed and there's definitely ups and downs, but I would say that I eat a lot more like quote unhealthy food now. My attitude really generally is like that I want to eat healthy meals like most of the time and like make sure I'm getting enough nutrition, but then outside of that I don't really care like if I'm eating foods that aren't good for me. And again, like quote not good for you, because who is to determine that? And like where's mental health in that chat? Like, you know, these foods make me happy, like foods that I used to eat as a kid, they make me happy, like, you know what I mean. So yeah, I think there's some aspect of that in it as well. And yeah, as long as I'm like getting enough nutrition in terms of like eating a good range of like fruits and veg and eating like carbs, fats, protein, minerals, etc., as long as my like that is good, I'm happy to like eat other food as well, like that might not fit into those categories as much. So yeah, and my main reasoning is for the animals. That is why I stay vegan. I did have like a mind fuck, if you will, a while ago, where I was like, why am I vegan? Because it's one of those things where I have like a stock answer for when people ask me like, why are you vegan? But when you've done something for so long like this, honestly, just other food isn't even on my radar. And I do think it's important to like check in with yourself and be like, why am I doing this? Do I want to keep doing this? It is a reasonably restrictive diet. And while there are like more and more options all the time, if you go to a restaurant that isn't vegan, there's likely 1, 2, 3, probably max 4 options on a menu of like 50 things or on a menu of like 30 things. And that is like, that is restrictive, you know, to only be choosing from those things. And there's also like this sort of sense of morality wrapped up in it. Like, you know, I believe that like animals shouldn't be like used for like animal products, etc. And then you kind of have this like, yeah, just like a sense of morality wrapped up within it that you need to do this because it's like what you believe in and you can never slip up. When, you know, there are plenty of things that I don't believe in that due to like, I guess, society, you kind of do have to partake in, whether that be, you know, who grew your vegetables, who picked them, has everybody along the supply chain been paid fairly, like, can you afford to buy from brands that ensure the supply chain is like treated well, and you know, plenty of other things like, you know, where does your gas come from and your electric, and like, you know, your phone probably has a battery that was made in, you know, I think they're made in Congo, which like drastically impacts the people that mine the stuff for the battery and also like the environment of that place. You know, there are so many things that I partake in that I don't think I stand behind, but it's really hard. Like, I don't think it would be possible to not partake in all of those things. Like, genuinely, I don't really know how you could do that without like just living on a farm and like creating everything yourself, which isn't a life that I want. Like, it, and I don't feel like you have to do that. Like, it really is not your fault that you can't do all those things. But then it's difficult because it's like, okay, well then I'll pick and choose, I'll do some of them, or I'll try and do them sometimes. And yeah, it gets difficult, doesn't it? Like, the same thing with fast fashion. I try really hard to never really buy from fast fashion brands, but like I do occasionally, and there's just not much, you know, I do really try not to do it, and I don't for the most part, but there's like some things where it just doesn't work, and it like depends on like your financial situation and like your size and stuff. Like, there's always more like intersectionalities to be addressed with these issues. And another aspect, especially with food, is like certain foods are like really wrapped up in like your culture and like where you're from and like your heritage and stuff. So giving them up for like maybe environmental reasons would be so difficult, and it doesn't impact everybody the same. Vegetarian food is like very common in India, and like in Indian cooking, being vegetarian is like a huge thing there. And then other than that, there's not actually a lot of like dairy and eggs. Paneer is one thing, but like, I don't know. I've never really eaten paneer. My family don't really make that. And then ghee also, which is like a kind of butter consistency thing. But again, like, it doesn't really, it's not the main element of the dish. So, and often like if you say, can I have it without ghee? They're actually like happy, because ghee is kind of expensive compared to just like vegetable oil. Obviously, like, you know, who knows if they actually do it without ghee and whatever. But what I'm trying to say is like the food that's like part of my culture it's not that difficult for me really to eat it vegan. So yeah, I feel like it really does depend on the person. Yes. Okay. So now we're up to speed on like where I'm at now. And these few months ago when I had this like, not like wobble, but kind of like some thoughts, I fathomed some things. I came to the realization that, I know this is so random and not a problem for now in any sense, not a problem for like 10 years really. But if I ever have kids, I will not be raising them vegan like from birth. I would love to raise them vegetarian, but vegan I just think is too restrictive, and I don't think it really fosters a very good relationship with food to be told from such a young age that you're barely allowed anything on the menu at most restaurants. If you're at like your friend's birthday party, hardly anything there is allowed for you. You have to eat these special foods, and I just don't think that it fosters the best relationship. with food. And I'm sure that like plenty of people will have been raised that way and it's turned out great. But as somebody who has got and has had a hard relationship with food, and it sucks, like it's really not a fun thing to have, I'm just conscious and I don't want that for them. And then I start to think, okay, so why do I want it for myself? And it's different now because I'm like an adult, but I think, okay, well, if I was feeding them vegetarian food, would I eat something different? Like, it's just all a little bit like, yeah, confusing. And I do think at some point, maybe, I don't know, I have nothing's for sure, but I think at some point I might be like, okay, well, I'm feeding them pizza with regular cheese on it. I'm also going to eat pizza with regular cheese on it, because I also don't want to see them to see me like restricting in a certain way. And obviously you can justify it by saying like, I'm doing this for the animals, it's nothing to do with like, you know, dieting or anything like that. But I still feel like the general vibe is maybe not what I want. And again, I'm sure it's worked for like loads of people. And also, what do I know? I'm 23 years old, like nowhere near having kids. Like, I have nothing really to say on the matter, but there's just something that I think about. And yeah, I think probably at some point I will have vegetarian. I would never eat meat or fish, but I probably would be vegetarian again, even if it was like very sparingly. There are also a few foods from my childhood which would bring me a lot of nostalgia and I would love to eat again. So maybe at some point, nothing really specific or like extravagant, but just a few foods that like we used to eat a lot and I kind of miss. Yeah, there's some things that I do miss even 8 years on. I was vegetarian or like not vegan for 15 years and then I've been vegan for 8 years. So like a third of my life, like by the time I'm 30, I will have been vegan for longer than I wasn't vegan. And, you know, even after all these years, there are still some things that I do miss. And I think that would be better. Like the vegan alternatives for cheese are not good. I think they're fine if you want like a cheese board, but if you want like pizza cheese, the meltability and like the texture is not good. And I have tried so many, and so many people I have had be like, oh, there's this specific one and this is the one that finally tastes like cheese, it's so exciting. And then I try it and I'm like, no, it's not the same. It's not what it was. The stretchiness, and yeah, it's just not the same. So that's one thing that I miss. I really like vegan chocolate. Eggs, it's like I don't really care about eggs, like I never really ate them that much, but like, you know, I'm not whatever kind of thing. I don't really care about eggs. And you can get good vegan cake. Like, it's difficult to make cake and stuff without eggs, but it's definitely doable. I've had loads of like amazing vegan cakes and been assured by a lot of people around me that they are really, it tastes like regular cake. And like, I agree, like I really do think it tastes the same. So yeah. Okay, I asked for some little questions and like thoughts and stuff on Instagram, because this is such a complicated topic and there's so many things, there's so many elements, because it's like on one hand I kind of wanted to discuss like how being vegan or like having these dietary like requirements and stuff is super different for like everybody, but then I also wanted to talk about my personal experience. So yeah, I asked on the Instagram for your thoughts, and if you ever want to be a part of a future episode, the Instagram is growingwiththeflow_podcast. So you can have a little look at that if you want to like submit for future episodes. Okay, so one of the top questions is, would you raise your kids vegan/vegetarian? I would raise them vegetarian, but not vegan. I think vegetarianism is like much more understood, and typically you can just remove like the meat from the dish, or like, I don't know. I just think it's like a lot more, it's a lot easier. I never felt like particularly restricted as a vegetarian, even like in the early 2000s, which is when it was very different to now. And I know a lot of people now who are like hardcore meat eaters, but would happily eat like one vegetarian meal a week. So I think it is changing, and I would raise them vegetarian, but probably not vegan until they're like older, if that was what they wanted. How to navigate veganism with a history of restrictive eating. I want to be really clear in that I don't think veganism is for everybody. And if you have a history with restrictive eating, there's a chance this diet isn't for you. And I think that's okay. Sometimes people can be, you know, the vegan police, they are crazy people. And I do think they get more rep than they actually deserve, because people are like, are you one of those crazy vegans? And it's like, I've never really met any of these crazy vegans. Where are they? Like, maybe there's a couple people being loud on social media, but I don't really ever meet anyone like that. But yeah, in general, how to navigate it with a history of restrictive eating, I think you just have to be like really self-aware and like check yourself as to what you're doing and why you're doing it. And yeah, because on one hand, veganism is actually really exciting, because I do think sometimes vegan food at parties, for example, people will be jealous of the vegan option because the people who have made it have actually put genuine effort into the flavor profile. Because I don't know why, but sometimes people assume that like a meat dish, for example, is gonna be good just because it's like regular and like, you know, you just make it the classic way. But often people will put extra effort into the vegan option. Not always, often you're just stuck with like a mushroom risotto, but sometimes you do get like a better option than everybody else because people have really thought about the flavors. And I think this is a fun part of veganism, like trying so many other foods and like especially vegetables and like spices and stuff. Like there's so many fun foods to try, and if you have never really thought about your diet or like cooking or something, veganism is kind of a fun challenge if it works for you. And it doesn't work for everyone, but if you can find it fun in that way and like you're trying all these new recipes and new meals, I do think that can be really exciting and like a healthy way to look at food, is like an exciting thing to try. So I think there's two sides to the coin, and the only advice I have or like recommendation is that you just are like really self-aware with it. And if you don't feel like you can be self-aware with it, maybe it's not the right time. So this question is, how do you get your macros / stay nutritionally sound as a vegan? Obviously this is important. I kind of think people are all up in arms about your macros and your nutrition when they found out you're vegan, but like people that eat chicken nuggets for every meal and never eat any vegetables, I'm not hating on that diet, I'm just saying in general, those people don't tend to get questioned about their nutrition. Like, just because you eat meat, it doesn't really mean that, it's not a guarantee that you're then having a balanced diet, you know? So I don't think this is really like the most sound argument. Obviously there's cases, and again, it depends how you're doing it, but for me, I feel like if anything, I'm much more likely to have all of my like veggies for the day, because veggies are like a bigger part of my meals now. And again, like there are so many unhealthy meat eating diets, like so many ways to be unhealthy. And I think some people are unhealthy as vegans and some people are unhealthy as meat eaters. I don't think there's as much of a correlation as people like assume. And I don't know, I've got no data to back that up, but in general, the way I like think about meals is I normally try and think about what protein will it include and then what veggies will it include. And then fats and carbs, I then tend to add without having to try, just because they make the meal good. So I don't have to like think about them as much, but I always will have veggies, protein, carbs and fat in the meal, but I'll like focus more on the protein and the vegetables in the planning process and then just add whatever like I'm in the mood for. So for example, if I'm having like, I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna have a noodles tonight, so what protein, I'd probably think, okay, that'll be tofu. What vegetables, stir fry is a bit different because there's so many vegetables, but I probably would do like carrots, broccoli, pepper, mushrooms, whatever you've got really. And then naturally, obviously there's noodles there, so that's the carbs. And then for the fats, I normally make like a peanut satay sauce. So that's like how, kind of how I think about meals. Another example, like say you want pasta, I would probably have veggie sausages or veggie meatballs or something. I don't eat a lot of alternatives just because I never eat meat, so they're not that appealing to me. But every now and then, maybe like once a week or like once every 2 weeks, I will have them. But normally I get protein from like tofu, beans and pulses, like lentils, that sort of thing. I'm not big on the alternatives. Yeah, so then with the pasta, I would probably think, okay, we'll probably have tomato sauce with mushrooms, And then sometimes I would put like nuts in it or something for the fat, or you know what I mean? Like if you're having tacos, okay, you've got the avocado, like that sort of thing. So I always start with the protein and the vegetables. And again, I don't do that for every meal because life is too short to eat the perfectly balanced meal for every meal. As long as I feel like overall I'm getting the nutrition that I need, I'm fine with like other things. So yeah. Does it bother you when other people eat non-vegan food? No. And people always say like, oh, sorry, do you mind if I eat this in front of you? It doesn't bother me. I don't care. I did grow up vegetarian, but my dad always ate meat and my brother started eating meat from a young age as well. So I've always been around it and like, it doesn't bother me. And just in general, I feel like it's a bit weird to be bothered by other people's diets. Like, it's just not your business. Like, unless you're genuinely concerned for their health, I don't think it really, like, it's just nothing to do with you. So that's my mindset anyway. Oh, this is interesting. Okay, this person has been vegan for 4 years. I find it hard to date. Men usually don't take it seriously, and there aren't many like vegan men. It's another good aspect to talk about with this is that the morality of being vegan, and like, you know, whether you think that's like the environmental issues or like animal issues, etc. Typically it's women who do this and like make the change for like a positive reason. So yeah, I will say my brother was vegan. He's not vegan anymore, but he was vegan for like a good few years. So they are out there, and I'm like, I feel like there are plenty of people. I personally don't, again, I don't need to date somebody who's vegan or vegetarian. Like, as long as they're like happy with my diet, and I do prefer to like for example, if we're eating together, I wouldn't want to them to feel like they had to eat meat in every meal. Like if we're cooking together, I would want probably them to be like open to eating veggie, like vegan food. But yeah, I don't know, but it's completely fair to feel like that, and it's difficult because there really are way less vegan men, way less. Ooh, okay, this person's just asking for recommendations for good vegan food. Love it. I have a few recipes that I have like on rotation that I like know off by heart, and then I try and make a new recipe like every now and then, maybe every couple weeks. So recipes in my repertoire: tofu and vegetable noodle stir fry with like a peanut satay sauce. Tacos, so I'd normally do mushrooms and peppers with tofu and like the spices in a pan, and then salad leaves, guacamole, and like the taco shells. I like the soft ones. So that's the other meal. Pasta, I have this aubergine pasta that I love from Ottolenghi. If you have that cookbook, the aubergine pasta is amazing. I also just like mushroom tomato pasta with veggie sausages. There's this Indonesian curry that I got in a recipe book from Bosch, and it's courgette and pepper, I think, and then coconut milk, like, and you make the curry paste yourself and stuff. And then I also do tofu with that. They didn't have tofu, but I do like baked tofu with that, and I normally serve that with like rice and sometimes bread as well. Let me think, what else? I sometimes have burgers, maybe like once a month I'll have a burger with potato wedges and then like salad. I don't have a favorite burger. I do really like Linda McCartney stuff, but I personally would pick a spicy bean burger over like a Moving Mountains or like a Beyond burger. Just, it's just not really my thing, but obviously each their own. Breakfast wise, I love tofu scramble. I normally do it with mushrooms and tomatoes all in the pan together, and some turmeric, smoked paprika, fry that all up, and then I have that on like a bagel, sometimes just with butter or with avocado. Sometimes you can also put that in a wrap and have it as like a breakfast burrito. Other breakfasts I like are just like yogurt and granola or just toast. I'm actually not a massive breakfast person, so yeah. Yeah, I also really like for lunches like couscous salad kind of thing with like roasted vegetables, hummus, pomegranate seeds, that sort of thing. Or pasta salad. Also love pasta salad with, like, again, roasted vegetables. Yeah, the other day I had falafel, roasted peppers and courgettes and onion, hummus. I made like a little salad, and then pita bread kind of things, like Greek flatbreads. That was delicious. So yeah, I actually love food, and I have so many good recipes at the moment. Do you find it to be cheaper or more expensive? Okay, this is so dependent on the way specifically you eat. If you're going to buy loads of alternatives, it is more expensive, because it's like normally like small brands that have made those. If you focus more on eating like beans and pulses and vegetables, I do think that can be cheaper. But again, it really does depend. And obviously it's not for everyone. So I'm not like trying to say it's cheaper in general, but I think it can be. And yeah, it depends. I think sometimes it can take longer if you're not used to cooking it. But in general, I'd say vegan food is quite quick, because meat is typically the stuff that you cook for like a long time. Like that stir fry I talked about, that takes like 20 minutes. And I'm sure like a chicken stir fry would also take 20 minutes. But you know what I mean? Just I think in general, meat is what takes the longest. So yeah, I have never been an adult and been not vegan. Like I turned vegan when I was 15, so I wasn't doing my weekly food shop at that age. So I've always done my weekly food shop as a vegan, which is kind of interesting. But yeah, I don't, like, in comparison to the people I'm living with or like friends and stuff that I've spoken to, I don't feel like I'm spending any more than they are. But obviously it depends. There's expensive food that isn't vegan as well, you know, it depends what you're buying. So thoughts on secondhand leather. Personally, I'm here for that. I would try not to buy leather firsthand. I would buy it secondhand because vegan leather is often just plastic. And if you're thinking about like your environmental impact, it's probably, in my vision, better to buy secondhand leather, which already exists. And it's like, if the animal has died for those shoes, like at least let them be worn, you know? Well, that's my mindset anyway. So yeah, I would buy secondhand leather. What's your family and friends' reaction to being vegan? My mum is vegan as well now. She raised me vegetarian, and when I turned vegan, she wasn't vegan for a few years, but she did turn after a while, and she's vegan as well. No one in my family cares. Sometimes my Indian relatives are like, come on, what are you doing? Like, why? Not really, because most of the food is really easy to make vegan anyway, but sometimes like older people will be like, why can't you eat ghee? Like, it doesn't, like, why can't you eat it? Especially because vegetarianism is like a lot more steeped in their culture, and like they have been, like my grandma, for example, like my dad's mom has been vegetarian like her whole life basically, I think. And vegetarianism is more new in like the Western world. So I think in their eyes, it's a bit more like, this is like, what are you doing? Like, vegetarianism has always been a thing. Like, why do you need to like go this extra step? But in general, it's just like one comment. It's not deep. It's like a joke. So yeah. And my friends don't care at all. This person says, I like the idea behind it, but I feel like there's so much toxicity. I really agree. And it is difficult. I don't really interact with like veganism. I don't have currently. I have had vegan friends in the past, not people that I'm not friends with anymore, just like that I don't live in the same place as. But currently I don't think I have any vegan friends that I like see regularly. And yeah, obviously my mum is, but like we don't live together and we don't really talk about veganism. So yeah, I don't think that I really like interact with it in this way. And I think the key is that it can be toxic for some people and then it isn't for others. And it's just like up to you to make that decision and up to everybody else to accept your decision. I don't think it's fair when people comment on other people's diets and when people, yeah, like take it really far, especially because there's so many elements. There's like your cultural elements, there's like the gendered aspect, there's your relationship with food in general, there's the money side of it, there's like your own like autonomy, like do you live with your parents, who buys your food, maybe you can't choose what food you're eating. There's also just like the way your body works, like if you have a sensitive tummy or you have like IBS or something, like a lot of people have bad reactions to, I think, like, beans and pulses and, like, chickpeas and stuff sometimes. I don't know. But I know that's for some people, like, the same, obviously, this can be true, the same diet for different people, their bodies would react differently. So, yeah, it's just so layered, and it is key to just, like, do your own thing and, like, stay in your own lane a little bit. I will say I've not met many people who are judgy or are, like, rude about it. So I think maybe if you want to give it a go, but you're, like, worried about the judgment, or even if you just want to be vegan, like, one day a week or one meal a week, sometimes there's this, like, all or nothing mindset, which I think is backed up by people who are, like, militant vegans. And I don't think that that's fair. And I think people, you know, the more the merrier in any sense. So also another thing is that some people find that they are more energized when they're vegan, some people find they're more fatigued. So, like, it really is just so specific to yourself. And there is a lot of privilege in veganism in certain ways. I don't know, it's hard because there is in a lot of the foods, and for example you should be able to have birthday cake on your birthday, and I'm sure vegan birthday cake is more expensive, so it's like, it's not fair. It is a privileged issue in that way as well. How do you respond when people debate about being vegan? This person says they don't like confrontation. I genuinely just choose to rise above. People have said some, like, it's especially when you're at, like, a big event with, like, lots of people that you don't really know, and that will come out that you're vegan, people will be like, oh, like, I saw this study, or like, oh, this, and I'm quite secure in it, so it doesn't bother me at all, but I would just, like, let them keep talking, and just not react like how they want you to, because it really isn't that deep. Also, another thing that I haven't spoken about is that all these vegan alternatives aren't available everywhere in the world, and, like, it depends also on where you live and, like, your surroundings and the access you have. So again, that's, like, another layer to the privilege of it all. Somebody says, do you take supplements or get blood work done? I don't take any supplements at the moment. Maybe I should, but I don't. And no, I did have really bad headaches a couple years ago, and I got blood work done for that at the time. I've also had, like, a virus thing when I was, like, 17, and at the hospital I had, like, a lot of blood work done, and I've never had anything come back as, like, deficient in anything. Like, all the blood tests I've had for other reasons, not about my diet, but, like, they were looking at that, have never come back with any issues. But obviously that wouldn't be the case for everybody, so yeah, that's just my experience. Okay, last one I'm going to answer is, do you find it difficult being vegan while traveling? This can be really difficult, which again speaks to the volume of how veganism isn't the same for everybody, and it depends so much where you live. For example, when we were traveling in India, it was reasonably easy. You kind of have to turn a blind eye to some things. Normally my mindset is like, I will, especially in like a non-Western country where it's not as known normally. Sometimes it is, like for example in Bali, it's like very well known, but other than that, I normally will do some research about what generally is like used in the cooking and like typical dishes and that sort of thing, figure out a few things, and then just hope for the best. Like, I'm sure that I've had things that have had, for example, a bit of fish sauce in them, or a bit of ghee, or maybe the bread had like some yogurt in the mixture, and I normally try to ask and like be clear, but for the most part when traveling I just do my very best because that's all you can do, and I would always rather eat than not eat. Yeah, especially when you're traveling, like, food is so important. And also I completely see the argument that like, you're traveling, you want to try the local food, you want to like immerse in the culture, so you're not vegan while you travel. I also think that's like completely valid. So yeah, I just like try to do my best. And also sometimes I will find like vegan restaurants and stuff, because they're normally just like small businesses, and nice, it's quite nice to like support like a vegan business. And we went to some really nice places like during our travels that had vegan food or like was advertised as vegan. So yeah, met some really nice people through it. So I think there's like, there's positives as well. It's not all like bad stuff. Okay. I hope this episode was enjoyable. I feel like it's been a little bit all over the place. And I also feel like hopefully I haven't said anything that will upset anyone. Because this is such a difficult topic. And yeah, I hopefully have explained like my point of view properly. So yeah, I hope you enjoy. Maybe I'll do some recipe videos or something coming up if anyone wants some meal ideas. But thank you very much for listening, and I will see you guys next week.